prayer before the devotional. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. For those of you who have your Bibles with you, if you would be willing to join me in opening it to St. John, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the man, Son of Man, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Glory be to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one true God, forever and ever. Amen. As we all gather this evening, it's kind of hard for us to believe that we have already made it to the middle of this great Lent. Sometimes I've heard this fasting business seems quite manageable. Seems that we've made it through 25 days, but the way I look at it is we have to face it, and we have to be honest to ourselves. A supreme pizza just isn't the same without the sausage and pepperonis. And getting to the meat of our fast seems harder than ever. Our weekly gospel readings that we've been reading throughout the Great Lent, especially this week, shares this ever-common theme. And we hear yet another one of those messages of change and repentance. And sometimes, like you, I too wonder, will we ever accomplish that pure and holy way of life that Christian faith requires of us? As we read in the gospel passage this evening, St. John shares his good news, but he actually takes us back to the Old Testament. If you noticed, some of the words that were spoken or some of the references that were made refer back to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Again, that's the book of Numbers, chapter 21. If you read through this passage, you will begin to see the Israelites who, in their impatience, speak out against the Lord God. We have to realize that the Israelites were being led by their leader to the Promised Land. And the route seemed so long. The journey seemed so tiring. People were losing their patience, their perseverance, and their concentration. And what they did was they started to complain against the Lord and Moses. They were being deprived of bread and water in the desert, and the simple food that they were eating was just not enough. And as a result of their rebellion, the Lord sent venomous serpents in their midst that bit many of the Israelites, causing them to die. While quite a few experienced physical death, the remaining turned back to Moses again, and they asked him to pray to the Lord for all the people. As they repented in their hearts and asked Moses to intercede on their behalf, God had mercy on them. Moses raised up a bronze serpent, which allowed them to live despite having been bit by the serpent. And this chapter that we read in Numbers chapter 21 is the primary text that the Holy Church has decided to highlight during this period, especially when we commemorate the mid-Lent. So you're probably wondering, where's the good news for us? It's actually in one of the most quoted verses in all of Christianity, or even all throughout the world over the past centuries, which is St. John chapter 3, verse 16. To put it into perspective, God, in his incomprehensible compassion, has not condemned us for our sins, like the Israelites, but instead chose to send his only Son, who humbled himself and was raised up on a cross. For those of us that look to that cross in true faith, we are empowered to inherit eternal life. The power of Christ within us enables us to live. And today, just like the Israelites who reached about halfway through their journey to the Promised Land, we too, as the church, have reached the halfway point to the great feast of salvation, that is the resurrection of our Lord that conquered death. And having reached this halfway point, I begin to think our humanness tends to kick in. And we develop some tendencies, like the Israelites, to complain against the disciplines of the church and wondering, why is it that we have to restrict all this food? Or why is it that I have to do 40 prostrations? Or why is it so much rigorous and severe during the prayer life, during this holy fast? And moreover, what I often notice during this period of the Great Lent is that as people draw closer to Christ, Satan is actually working overtime. And he is seeking to detract the people from the presence of God. And we notice that people have an increased tendency to criticize and complain, not only about the fast, but also in our words and in our conversations regarding other people. It is in this very context that we need to look into the incident that is narrated from the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. This passage that we read in the book of Numbers is a check for all of us to seriously scrutinize ourselves, to look into our innermost being and the spiritual disciplines that we have especially adopted during this Great Lent. I know many of you who are here this evening, I'm not sure if everyone had the opportunity to attend church this evening, especially as we celebrate the Holy Qurbana on the mid-Lent, typically on Tuesday evenings or Wednesday morning. And it's during the service of mid-Lent, the cross is carried in a procession. And following the exaltation of the cross, it is raised up high and placed in the center of the church. For what purpose? Just like the Israelites looked upon the bronze serpent that Moses raised up in the desert, so too all those who look upon the cross that is raised up in the center of the church have victory over death. The cross that the church elevates in the midst of us is the same cross that will be used for the burial of the Lord on Good Friday, the same cross that will be resurrecting on Easter Sunday, and the same cross that will be kept in the church through the ascension of Christ. In short, the cross that is elevated in the midst of the church today will remain actively in the church for 65 days. And this cross is the sacramental and sacrificial presence of Jesus Christ. Let us be as those cleansed by the blood of Christ. We can no longer be detained by the venom of sin, and allow the great light of Christ to shine through us. During the next 25 days, I want each of us to readily prepare ourselves to receive this gift of life. Let us pray for the discernment to put aside those things that are not of the Lord, and put put our trust and hope in the life-giving holy cross that will leave us not to perish, but will grant us, God willing, at his mercy, eternal life. I hope and pray that tonight will be a time for self-examination for each and every one of us. Let us look and see where we have gone wrong in the last 25 days, areas that we may have struggled with, and areas that we may have improved in our spiritual life. And let us re-examine and re-evaluate and rededicate so that the next 25 days of our journey may be a blessed one for us all. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words for us. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.